Is Jesus truly God? How the Bible teaches the divinity of Christ, by Greg Lanier. Crossway, 2020. 144 pages. A book review from Books at a Glance, by W. Edward Glennie. I was pleased when I found this book on the list to review for Books at a Glance. I met Greg Lanier while he was doing his doctoral work at Cambridge, and he had a good reputation there for his organization and research. Since that time, I have been impressed with his work, and this book is no exception. He has the ability to write books like this one that are accessible, and by that I mean succinct, well-organized, clear, and practical. And yet he does good research, and he interacts with and refers to excellent scholarly work. In this book, Lanier addresses the question in the title, "Is Jesus truly God?" But in addressing this question, he desires to help average Christians understand how Scripture teaches that Jesus is God, or how the New Testament authors teach this truth. He aims to help his readers understand how the Trinitarian Christology found in the earliest creeds was found in the Scriptures by Christians from the earliest days. And he seeks to accomplish that by demonstrating from Scripture that it teaches a full-orbed divine Christology. The book consists of 6 major chapters. After the helpful introduction, which leads into the main content and contains a brief overview of the evidence for Jesus' humanity. Chapter 1 aims to unfold the various ways in which Scripture indeed affirms the Son's real, active, heavenly pre-existence within the Godhead. This chapter has material from the prophets and Psalms that I found clear and valuable, as well as New Testament evidence. In Chapter 2, Lanier addresses whether Scripture affirms that Jesus is a fully divine Son, and in what sense is he God's Son? Here he gives scriptural evidence that when Scripture refers to Jesus as the Son of God, it means he is the unique, eternally begotten Son of God. And it is not merely a messianic label referring to royal messiahship. Chapter 3 is one of my favorite parts of the book, because Lanier walks the reader through the New Testament author's use of the Old Testament to establish that Jesus is truly Lord and the God of the Old Testament. He explains how the New Testament authors affirm monotheism and proclaim Jesus Christ as fully God without suggesting that they believe in 2 or more gods. For the New Testament authors, the God of ancient Israel necessarily includes the divine Son, and always has. The question in chapter 4 is, did the earliest Christians offer to Jesus the full worship that belongs to the one true God alone? Lanier offers 5 worship patterns that prove they did. Praying, singing, ordinances, ministry in Jesus' name, and bowing down to Jesus in worship. And then he explores how the entire religious life of early Christians was understood as spiritually partaking in Christ. Through the believer's union with Christ, Christ molds them into conformity with him through Christ-shaped worship in all of life. In chapter 5, Lanier shows that Jesus is divine in a specific way. He is the Son in eternal relation to both the Father and the Spirit, and the 3 persons are fully one God. He does this by giving the biblical evidence that the Spirit is a person, and the biblical evidence of the relationship of Jesus to the Father and Spirit from his ministry, Pentecost, the epistles, and the Great Commission. He concludes that the best label for the Christology of the New Testament is Trinitarian Christology, rather than simply referring to a divine Christ, binitarian Christology, or Christological monotheism. And believers must make sure they do not bracket out the Spirit in the way they know and experience Jesus' divine essence. In chapter 6, Lanier summarizes the meaning of 7 passages in the New Testament that directly call Jesus God. Titus 2:13, 2 Peter 1:1, Hebrews 1:8, 1 John 5:19 through 20, John 1:1, John 10:33, and John 20:28. And 5 other passages that are still debated. John 1:18, Acts 20:28, Galatians 2:20, 1 Timothy 3:16, and Romans 9:5. He also briefly discusses other exalted terms used to refer to Jesus. The helpful conclusion briefly summarizes each of the chapters and the meaning of 4 key passages that bring everything together, demonstrating the full humanity and full divinity of Jesus Christ. Those important passages are Philippians 2, 6 through 11, Colossians 1, 15 to 20, Hebrews 1, 1 to 4, and John 1, 1 through 18. It is interesting that these four passages are the closest thing in the New Testament to an extended argument for the divinity of Jesus. That is because the New Testament authors did not feel a need to defend the deity of Jesus. The fact that Jesus is God was the inescapable conclusion of all they had seen and heard, and they assumed it. There's also a selected bibliography, a general index, and a scripture index. The bibliography is especially important, and the reader of this little book would do well to read the footnotes and become familiar with the sources in the bibliography, because they are excellent, up-to-date resources that Lanier draws on throughout the book. In fact, Lanier's ability to draw on up-to-date evidence concerning Trinitarian Christology and to relate it to the biblical text, showing how it is grounded in Scripture, is the greatest strength of this short book. It is a wonderful entree into the scriptural roots of creedal Christology, and I would recommend this book for anyone looking for a book on this subject. It is especially suited for lay people, Bible study groups, and even college classes. W. Edward Glennie.